People, Lord, to gather together in thy name, knowing, Father, that it was you that came down with a shout. And then, Father, when you declared your message through your lips of your prophet, we received it, Father, and it became our message. And, Father, we recognize, Lord, that that same is the same message that was spoken of in the days of Moses, the same message that you first declared from the voice of the cloud. And so when you came down in the cloud in this hour, O God, and that message went forth, the breaking of the seals, and the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known. Help us, O God, to enter into that cloud message. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sunday we began looking at the cloud that God sent over Flagstaff, Arizona, in which Brother Branham had previewed in a vision more than 2 months before it took place. He spoke on December 30th of 62, telling us about the vision, and then on February 28th, the vision became manifestation. Now, Sunday, we just focused on the cloud itself and the fact that there was a second cloud that was caused by a missile blast about somewhere somewhere west, about 20 to 40 miles of the main cloud. We went through Dr. James McDonald's 7-page letter concerning the two clouds and showed they're always twins whenever God does anything. In fact, Brother Branham himself said, every revival produces twins. So it should be no mystery to us when we see supernatural, or when we see spiritual Christians and we see carnal Christians. There's always a genuine and always a counterfeit, and that is because Satan is good at doing what he does best, and that is to try and copy the genuine Word of God as it comes to pass, and then put a little twist to it. This evening I wish to run through the scriptural purpose of the cloud and show what God says concerning it. But to do so, let's begin to read what Brother Branham had for himself to say as he ties the cloud to scripture himself. To do this, we need only to look to the next paragraph in the sermon, The Rising of the Sun, paragraph number 9, where Brother Branham said, "Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles, as we always believe that the Word must come first as the reading of the Word. I always read that because my words is the word of a man. It will fail, but the word of God can never fail." Now, listen, this is very important to understand. Because you must say what is on the tapes and only what is on the tapes. And if you cannot say what he just said, then you don't believe what he said. Then you don't believe the prophet. He said, "My words can fail, but God's word cannot fail." Yeah. It's just like Brother Bale himself said in a sermon, Seeing Christ Magnified. He said, "Now you see, you either believe the prophet or you don't believe the prophet. It's not believing Lee Vale. I got nothing to do with this except preach it, see. And if any minister cannot say the same words, they're not a true fivefold minister." And Brother Branham said, "My words is the word of a man. It will fail. But the word of God can never fail. So say what he said and don't add your own two bits to it. And when you come to the place where you understand what he said is when you are able to hear what he says and identify the very scripture that he's referring to, then you understand what he said and not until." So if Brother Brown tells you something and you can't find it in the Bible, you don't know what he said. You have no clue. But when you can take what he said and show it from the scripture, then you know that you know. Then he goes on to say, "Now, we're going to read from the Holy Scripture a text. And we want you to turn first to three places in the Bible, and I've chosen to read from. And one of them is Revelation, the first chapter, in the 17th and 18th verse. This is where he appeared with his hair white as wool." Now, for those that are new to the way that we present the word here, everything Brother Brown says is in blue. But if he's quoting scriptures or if I'm quoting scriptures, it's all in red. So you can identify what scriptural, what the prophet says. And then my own words, usually tying them together, will be in black. All right, and then anything else, I'll use a different color. Okay, And I want you to also get in your Bibles Romans, the 8th chapter, 11th verse. And I've chosen this morning three places to read from the Holy Scripture for my message today that the Lord has placed upon my heart for the resurrection. And then I want you to also Mark 16, 1 and 2, and there I will draw my contest. Now in Revelation 1:18, we read these words, 17 and 18, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 11th verse, we read this, But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, see, a lot of people think Jesus raised himself from the dead. He did not. God raised Jesus from the dead. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And now Mark, the 16th chapter, the chapter of the resurrection, the 16th chapter, first and second verse. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now, my text, you can come in. Now, my text this morning, Brother Brown says, I want to take for a text, it is the rising of the sun. Now, the voice of God, when they translated this scripture, or they translated this word, they put S-U-N. I don't believe Brother Brandon was referring to the S-U-N, even though in the scriptural verse it says, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the S-U-N, and yet we find in verse, paragraph 20, Brother Brandon says it's actually the S-O-N, because we're talking about the resurrection of the Son of God. We don't care about too much about a sunrise. All right? We care about the sunrise. Okay. So, just so that our focus is on Christ. Okay, it is the rising of the sun, and for a subject I want to use the quickening power. Now, you know, you perhaps have been hearing the radio and the different ministers speak, and our brother, and our noble brother, Neville, this morning speak his Easter subject on the resurrection. And I thought maybe that I would take a little different path, not to be different, but just to add a little more, maybe in another angle for you. The scripture, every angle that you go with the scripture, it always declares Jesus Christ. You cannot get away from it in any way. It always declares him. Now, I want to focus our thoughts, the entire series, on what Brother Branham told us that he was going to do. He said, my subject is the quickening power. So the entire sermon, the rising of the sun, and our entire series should focus on that quickening power at the rising of the sun. Now, we know that the Lord has descended with a shout, and we associate this cloud that was over Flagstaff, Arizona, with the voice of God in the shout. And we know Brother Brandt told us in the rapture series, or the rapture tape, he said the rapture takes place in three things. The shout, voice, trump. He said the shout is the message. Alright, but there has to be a voice in that cloud, or in that descent, to give us a shout, which is a loud voice. Alright, therefore, I would like to find this in scripture so that we can see the pattern for ourselves. Now, Matthew 13, verse 13 to 17. We read, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now the scene shows Jesus coming out of the water, and we see the light descending, which has the appearance of a dove. And then we hear a voice coming from the heavens, which is to say from above. And this voice that we hear is the Father speaking to the people about his relationship with his Son. Notice the voice always from the heavens speaks of the relationship between Father and Son. This is my beloved Son. Brother Branham says, sons have beginnings. The scripture does not say that only Jesus heard this voice, because if it did, then the voice of God would not have said, This is my beloved Son, but would have said, You are my beloved Son. So the voice was for all. Okay? So we understand here that the voice of God was speaking to the people. And now it may be true that only John heard the voice, but if that were the case, why did Matthew, Mark, and John, and Luke and John make reference to it? Now let's turn now also to the book of Luke, and we're going to examine the scene a little closer. In Luke 3, in verse 21 to 23, we read, Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that when that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Notice, in thee. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now notice that the light that descended was called the Holy Ghost. Then the voice came forth, and Jesus was about 30 years old when he received the Holy Ghost. And we see the same thing in John 1, verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now the thing I want to point out here is that the voice of God, which we hear speaking from heaven, is speaking of his relationship between himself, God, and his Son Jesus, whom he has now anointed as the Christ. In other words, when God entered into him at the River Jordan, Brother Branson, that's when God entered into his Son. All right? Keep this in mind as we further search the Scripture concerning God's voice speaking from heaven. Now, in Matthew 17 and 1, we read, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and saith unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud. Now notice, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. All right, Alpha's Omega. Okay. A voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now notice this voice, which spake was the voice of God, and it came from a cloud. And his message for all to hear spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ, how that he was the Son of God, and how that God indwelt him. He said, In whom I am pleased to dwell. And Brother Brown said, In whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Okay. That is the message that the voice spoke from the cloud in the Alpha. And as we know, that the Alpha must become Omega. So the same revelation that came forth from the cloud, the voice, God's voice, is the same revelation that came down in the Omega. And that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. And Brother Branham said, the message in the Alpha must repeat in the Omega. So the message out of the cloud was God himself identifying himself with and in his Son. He was proclaiming the doctrine of Christ that there is one God and he had a Son. Now, we hear the voice from out of the cloud speaking of the relationship of the Father and Son. Now, bear in mind here that we are studying a sermon, Rising of the Son, and it is actually speaking of the resurrection of the Son of God. And also bear in mind that the Alpha must repeat in the Omega. Now, let's turn one more scripture, and we'll read from John 12, and verse 14. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him. Now remember, he was glorified on Mount Transfiguration, when the cloud, the voice out of the cloud spoke, and basically his adoption. And that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answering them said, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now what Jesus is saying is the same thing. Look, Jesus had to die to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in order for him to die for you and I. And we must die to self in order for us to be filled with that same life. In other words, Jesus had to die that we might live. Now, we must die that he might live again in us. Okay? If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall he also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this world, unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. When? In this hour. Alpha, I've done it now in the Alpha, I will do it again. When? At the Omega. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Well, it doesn't thunder unless there's a cloud. So there had to be a cloud, and that voice came from the cloud. You understand what I'm talking about? The voice of the cloud tonight. We had a cloud. People want to fuss about it. There was two clouds. One was the cloud that God sent in the form of a pyramid. The angels came down in the form of a pyramid. Brother Raph saw 2 months before. What's interesting is I found out this week that actually the pictogram for a pyramid, the pictogram for the Hebrew letter B, which actually is bar, which means which actually speaks of sun, all right, is a pyramid. All right. Now, what's interesting about that is that pyramid actually stands for a tent or house. What house will you build me? See, it's talking about the house of the body. All right. Now. The people therefore stood by and heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him, and Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. That voice did not come because of Jesus, for Jesus, it came for you and I. Alright? Here we see a scene in which the cloud overshadows Jesus, because it doesn't thunder unless there are clouds, right? And out of the midst of that cloud we hear a voice speak again. Now the people heard thunder, but Jesus heard the voice of his Father. I hope you caught what Jesus said in verse 30. He says, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now, let's continue and read until verse 50. And we're going to insert William Branham instead of Jesus into this scene to see where Alpha has become Omega. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signified what death he should die. And the people answering him said, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Exactly, Alpha and Omega repeating. Thus, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, the King James Version speaks of Isaiah 28 and says, Lord, who hath believed our message? The word report is translated as message. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah again said in verse 40, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eye, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and he spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And then Jesus cried, and he said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. And I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. There's your Alpha and Omega. The words that I speak in the last days are going to be spoken again, and they're going to reject it, and the whole scene is the same. That will judge. There's your Omega. For I have not spoken to myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as my Father said unto me, so I speak. So Jesus didn't even say anything but what he saw in the vision. As Brother Brown said, Jesus had to have visions to do what he did. All right, now, let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no man. Now listen. Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? He's looking at the pillar of fire. He's not looking at the body. He's looking at the pillar of fire, and the pillar of fire speaks. And out of the pillar of fire, he says, I am Jesus. Now, most people, if you ask them, tell me about Jesus, they'll say, well, he had long hair and beard and this and that. But Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. See? I come in my Father's name. All right. Now, in this scene, we see Paul struck down by a light, and the voice speaks to him, giving him instruction. Now, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as he declared to be in his word, then if each time the cloud bearing the presence of God comes down to earth, we hear his voice, and when his voice speaks, it is pertaining to the relationship of the Father to the Son. In Matthew 24 and 30, and then shall appear the Son of the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, it doesn't say with great power and glory, because if it was great power, you would have seen the ocean open up like Moses. You would have seen some of the great things that happened in the ministry of Moses. You would have seen the 10 plagues and all this other. But he comes in power and great glory. So the emphasis that Jesus is giving us is on the glory, not so much on the power. All right? Now, we hear about Christ coming in clouds himself. Now, this verse of Scripture does not tell us that this is Jesus who comes, but Christ. Christ coming in the cloud. And there is a difference. Christ is the anointing or the anointed one, the Spirit's presence. Jesus, the man, is not Jesus, the Father of the man. You understand? So if it would just say Jesus, we would not understand who he's speaking about until he told us if it was either the Father or Son. But he says, Christ coming in the clouds himself. And then he says, which is the anointing or the anointed one, the Spirit's presence. Now, in order to see him when he comes again, we must know how he left. Because we are told that as he left, in like manner, in similar manner, he would return to the earth again. All right, Acts 1, verse 1-11. The former treatise made I, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, that ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from up from you into the heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heaven. So we're dealing with the cloud. And we're dealing with the very presence. We're dealing with the appearing. We're dealing with the manifestation of Son of Man. So in what manner did he go up? In a cloud. Then in what manner shall he return? In a cloud. Alpha repeats in Omega. Matthew 26:63-65, But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy, but further indeed have we of witnesses. Behold, now ye have heard this blasphemy. Again in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15-18, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming, that word is parousia, that means presence, those that remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, that's the same Lord that spoke to Paul, the same God, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. See that, John? We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's comforting to me. Now, you notice that he will bring forth his presence that will catch us up together in the cloud. We know that the shout is a message heralding his parousia, his presence, which is his appearing. And we know that we are, and Brother Brown says there's a difference between the appearing and coming. Two different words mean two different things. He's appearing now in the form of the Holy Ghost, getting us ready for his coming. The coming refers to the body. The appearing refers to God himself. And we know that we are to be gathered together, which happens under the shout. Then what does the cloud have to do with it all? Everything. Remember, the cloud represented seven angels, which brought the seven mysteries of the seven seals. That's what Brother Brown said. We read it on last Sunday. And remember, in Revelation 10:1-7, the angel of the covenant comes with hair white like wool, which is the clouds that we see form the Hoffman head of Christ hair, the wig, showing headship is here. As Brother Brown said last Sunday when we read it, he said the white wig is he said the not only in the English judicial system, but in some of the Western, he said, when the judge was given his authority, they placed a white wig upon him representing that authority. Okay? Now remember, the cloud represented seven angels, which brought the mysteries of seven seals. And remember, Revelation 10:1-7, the angel of the covenant comes with hair like wool, which is the clouds that we see, you know, forming. And Revelation 10:1-7, let's just read it. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Well, the white wig is a piece of clothing that the judge puts on. It is clothing. You put on a hat, that's part of your clothing, right? He put on the wig, that's his clothing. Clothed with a cloud, and we know that the white wig was a piece of clothing the judge wore, put upon his head, showing supreme authority. You see, that's what his last piece he puts on. He puts on his everything else, puts on that wig. Now it's supreme judge. It's the supreme judge. All right? And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun. And notice, and his feet as pillars of fire. Then if his feet was as a pillar of fire, and the foot then is above the prophet's head, showing the prophet is subject to the Supreme One. In foreign countries, you know, they approach the king, and the king will put his foot right on their shoulder. They'll bow down their heads, and he'll put his foot there. He's showing, hey, you're subject to me. The prophet... That wasn't a picture of William Branham. That's a prophet. That's a picture showing a subjected prophet to a God who came down. Hallelujah. That makes me excited. The other thing I want to show you here is this. Notice that it says his hair, he was clothed with a cloud. Now, we all have seen the Life magazine, and if we could just kind of zoom in on these pictures here, I want to, for those that are watching overseas,
Notice the white wing, seven angels. And I'd like to add something here at this time. That, well, I'll get to it actually in just a little bit. Okay, we got her? Okay, now, what I want you to see is on the page, the same piece of paper. You see, this is the front side. This is the back side. And what do you see? A rainbow. Right? Catch that rainbow. Notice the location of the rainbow. It's at the top of the page. If you were to hold this cloud up to a bright light, you would actually, well, it's not bright enough. You would actually see the rainbow through the paper. It's over his head. God hiding in simplicity. You see? Revelation 10, 1 to 7. All right. So we know that the white wig was a piece of the clothing that the judge placed upon. Did we get the picture of the rainbow? Okay, good. And the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. Notice that's important. And he set his foot upon the sea, and left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice is a shout, as when a lion roareth. And this is directly from the book of Amos, which speaks of God as a prophet. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he reveals his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared. And notice Revelation 3:10-3. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. So verse 8 here in Amos. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? It's a prophetic utterance. God is the prophet. The William Branham was a voice even against his better judgment. He said, I want to be a traveler. He said, but it's the will of my Father that I do and declare to do. All right. And when he had cried, seven thunders utter their voice. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be no more time. Or time should be no longer, or as the some of the translations say, and time should be no more delayed. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, we turn over to Psalm 104, verse 1 to 4. We read, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of the chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirits his ministers a flaming fire. And again in Job 38, verse 9, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness and swaddling band thereof. So in other words, God said, I made the cloud my garment. Okay, what is the garment? It was the white wig. We hear God tell us that he made the clouds for a covering and a garment. In Lamentations, it says, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud. What do you call your covering? In military, the hat called a covering. Right? And thou covers thyself with a cloud. Now, as we mentioned, Sonny, when we read where a certain person, upon hearing the request for more photos by the article of Life magazine, he responded and he sent a picture to Dr. McDonald that was very clear and exceptionally detailed from James McDonald's testimony. James McDonald said, so far, only a few good photos have turned up as a direct result of the Life appeal. But one of those, taken by F.H. Carter of Page, Arizona, is of such quality as to repay all the effort that went into getting the plea for more photos into Life. In other words, this photo was of such exceptional quality that it became our scientific photo. All right? Well, I mentioned Sunday morning, concerning the cloud, that Brother Bill Caldwell of Oregon, who is a longtime friend of Brother Vale, that he had called back in the early 70s, he called and then wrote to the science library because they had a box of some 80-plus pictures, and he requested from them the most scientific picture, and the one that they sent, he could see with a magnifying glass thousands of people in that cloud. Thousands of people in that cloud. He described to me in much detail many people standing in the cloud, and there was one woman, beautiful woman, and she was standing behind a wonderful, beautiful rose. That was very interesting, just the detail that was in there. Now, notice that Brother Brown said, I saw many little birds coming. That's the first time he saw the vision.
Then he said, then bigger birds came, and the second time he saw the vision. Third, he said, there was angels came in the form of a pyramid. And remember, the pyramid in the Hebrew, the pictogram of pyramid, means tent. All right? So God's tent of his presence. In Psalms 31:20 and 27 and 5, he says, hide me thy secret of thy presence. All right? So God comes down, his presence comes down, and with him, the body. That's the head. And the head is not detached. The body. Brother Brown saw the people in the sixth dimension. He said, Brother Hickerson, I saw you there. You were there. Different ones. I saw you there. How could they be here and there? Remember, Paul says, if this earthly body be dissolved, there is one already waiting. Where? In the heavens. Brother Brown said, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. He said, now, if this life is wicked, he said, you know where you're going. Well, what if this life isn't wicked? What if it's righteous? Then you know where your other body's waiting. Notice, Lamentations. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud? Hebrews 12 and 1. We see that the cloud is actually typed as being a gathering of many witnesses. Paul says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The witnesses are those that have the witness in them. Now think about it. God's Holy Spirit is a witness, right? That makes us sons and daughters of God. Could there be a parallel here? Again, we see in 2 Peter 2 and 17. In speaking of the unjust, he says, these, plural, are wells without water, and their clouds, plural, that are carried with a tempest, to whom is the midst of darkness is reserved forever. That kind of cloud and the dark cloud. All right? But clouds, regardless, they are witnesses without water. What does water represent? The Holy Ghost. There's witnesses, and 2 Peter talks about these people are witnesses without the Holy Ghost. In Deuteronomy 32 and 1, he says, God says, my rain shall drop, or my doctrine shall drop as the rain. Witnesses without the doctrine. Witnesses that say, well, yeah, God bless us. He sent a prophet, and so we're going to make all kinds of money off of that because we're going to use his name and everything else, but they won't teach you the doctrine that he taught. These are clouds without water. We see clouds representing people, although in this example they're false witnesses, but in all these examples a cloud is given for a witness, whether good or bad. We read also in Jude 1 and 12, these, plural, are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves, plural, without fear. Clouds, plural, they are without water. No rain, not rain clouds, because no rain, without water. And God said, my doctrine is as the rain, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, in fact, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Again, we see the use of the cloud as a type of a people. Yet these are waterless clouds, meaning they do not have the Spirit of God in them. And since the rain of God is God's doctrine, according to Deuteronomy 32 and 1, these are witnesses without doctrine, yet they are still referred to as clouds. We have many people say, well, I was a witness. I went hunting with him. And yet they won't teach people what he said. Isaiah 14:14. I will ascend, this is Lucifer now, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice how Lucifer wanted to ascend up even above the glory of God. Revelation 1 and 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. He cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now notice we are told he will come with clouds. Therefore the clouds then are a witness to his coming. And yet these clouds are not clouds as a thunderhead, but these clouds are actually clouds of glory. Brother Ram said from the Revelation chapter 1, he said, now, let's take the veil off just for a few minutes now, the Lord helping us, take the veil from our eyes and behold, he comes with clouds. Now, how is he coming? With clouds. What kind of clouds? Clouds of glory. Not one of these thunderheads, rain clouds, but clouds of glory. If you watch what kind of a cloud he was enshrouded in when Peter and them saw his vision on Mount Transfiguration, a cloud overshadowed him. His raiment shined. He was enshrouded with a cloud, the power of God. Now, from the seven church ages, Brother Bradson, now, let me stop here just a moment. Clouds. It doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead. His mama, bless her heart, she's sitting here somewhere. When as a little boy, she used to sit and tell me he's coming on a great big cloud, going to raise up someday, and God's coming, going to come down. Now, and the clouds that he is coming, if we just have the time to get all of this back and get the real background of it, of the whole thing. Now, the cloud he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory he's coming in. See? Now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God on Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment. See? And when Elijah come down, a cloud come down and received him up. Not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. So a cloud of glory comes down, overshadowed Jesus. When Elijah goes up, what came down? A cloud. Hallelujah. There's something more about this than we understand. From uncertain sound, Brother Bram said, and what did we find the revelation was the other night in the apocalypse? The apocalypse means a sculptor. He was done down here making something. And then what does he do? He just takes the curtain out, said, there it is. That was his redoing here. He was revealing himself in another fashion. What was he in? A glorified, transfigured condition. His coming, the way he's coming, a glorified Christ transformed. His raiment shined like the sun, oh my. He stood in the cloud, and he's coming in the clouds of glory, overshadowed by a cloud, not a little white thunderhead up yonder, but the cloud that he comes in is a cloud of glory. All these angels with him. Hallelujah. My, that's the way he's coming, coming in a cloud of glory. Now, Genesis 9, we're going to look at clouds a little bit and see, because every time that cloud came down, so in the first Exodus, we see it in the second Exodus with Jesus, it's got to repeat in the third Exodus. Alpha becomes Omega. And so we're going to see there's always a voice in the cloud. And that voice was the voice of God. And it had a message. And that message was about the relationship between Father and Son, Father and Sons. Brother Rapp said, the threefold mystery of Christ, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. First, God in Christ. Second, God in His children. And thirdly, we have fellowship, just like Adam did back in the garden. Now, Genesis 9, 13 to 16. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token. Notice, I do set my rainbow, my bow, in the cloud. And it shall be for a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And listen, when I bring my cloud over the earth, the bow, okay, shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant. And remember, we showed you here, you look at the cloud, and above that cloud is that rainbow. All right? And it says, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Now listen, we're looking at the voice of God in the cloud, the voice of the cloud. And the rainbow is like a great barcode in the cloud. And each color represents one of God's promises to mankind. The red color stands for the blood of the everlasting covenant. From Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders, Brother Anderson, now watch. Noah's rainbow composed primarily of seven colors. Anybody knows a rainbow's got seven colors? Now, what are the colors? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. That's the colors of the rainbow. Now, we got a deep thing there. And I'm just going to have to hit the high spots of it because it's getting too late. Now, remember, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Now, and if you notice, seven. Now, watch. Seven rainbows, seven-colored rainbow. That meant seven bows. Seven bows, seven churches reflecting seven lights, each light wrapped into the other. It starts off with red, then after red comes orange, which is a reflection of red. After orange comes yellow, which is red and orange mixed together, yellow. Then green, and blue makes black, then indigo, and then from indigo comes violet, which is a part of the blue, or oh, hallelujah. Don't see, God in the seven-colored rainbow, His covenant that He made, a covenant that through the seven church ages, the seven colors, that He would save the earth. Now, well, God's rainbow is a material manifestation of all that He is and all that this covenant expresses to you and I. It is all written out in that rainbow, and that is the book. That is the expression of the agreement, and he hangs it in the sky for everyone to see his agreement with his seed forever. Now, the first of the lights to shine forth is given by love, which is red. Red symbolizes not only love, but how that love is represented by blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. And no greater love can a man have than he lay down his life for his friend. So red is the very first color we see in the rainbow, and that represents the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world, and that means whereby we are brought back into fellowship with God. Now from his sermon, Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, Brother Branham says, the forerunner is gone, has for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This great forerunner has gone before us, making a way. He's become from a spirit, the great fountains of the rainbow of God, who had no beginning or no end. He was forever God. This ray of light went forth, and it was a ray of love. That's the main one, red. The next color followed, which was blue. Blue means trueness. Next followed after that was colors, the seven perfect colors, which are the seven spirits of God, that went forth from the great fountain, and that great diamond that Jesus spoke of, that great diamond that's chipped to reflect those colors. God was made flesh and dwelt among us, that he might reflect his goodness and mercy among us by gifts and wonders and signs and wonders. That whole big rainbow had become in a theophany, made in the image like man, yet he wasn't a man, he didn't have flesh yet, he was a theophany. Now the seven colors, beginning with red and ending with purple, God was displaying a natural miracle that demonstrated the complete redemption of man. In Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Ram says, the Bible said in Revelation that the seven spirits before the throne of God, is that right? The seven manifold, seven spirits. We find out there are seven colors, there are seven church ages. Oh, it just runs, seven is complete, and God was complete in seven spirits, and those spirits were perfect. And the first was a color of red, perfect love, redemption. And how, if we had time to give those colors and show that each one of those colors represented God's purity. Amen. Those colors, the seven natural colors, those colors represented the purity of God. And those colors represent the motives of God and the attitude of God. Those seven colors, they represented seven church ages, seven stars, seven angels. All through the scripture, seven ministers, seven messengers, seven messages, all in the sevens. 7 days, 6 days, and the seventh, the Sabbath, perfect, complete. Oh, it's beautiful. If we just had the time to dig into it and bring it out of those colors. Now notice that those colors represent the motives of God and the attitude of God. In other words, they represented his covenant promise. Our motive is our purpose and plan, and the attitude shows the state of mind or the disposition that God had toward his children. Therefore, those seven colors spelled out the very covenant between God and his seed. So first we look at the colors in the natural. In the world of art, we have three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. These cannot be formulated by mixing. They come from the earth. But with these three colors and the addition of black and white, any shade of the spectrum can be obtained. Herein lies a thought-provoking scriptural principle, for in red we have the Hebrew word udem, which means red clay. Now the second primary is yellow, and we also find it is a counterpart in the principle of God. Yellow always speaks of trial and purging. Okay? Trials of our faith be much more precious than gold that perishes. See the link. Fire, which is always used in the purification process, comes in the category of yellow. So once again, even though we cannot make yellow in the same way man has no control over trouble. All right, yellow represents the trial and testing. We are purged and purified. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So red is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, by the blood of his Son. And then we have yellow is the trial, testings. Now, we see that God set in a bowl the rainbow and the clouds for a sign. It represents God's covenant with man. Then as we continue to look at the colors of the rainbow, we see the color green, which represents life, given life. The evergreen, always showing life. Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders, Brother Branham says, so we see him in the circle bowl of a green amber color. This greenish, what does green represent? Life. Green is an evergreen, always stays green is life. What does it mean? That God has promised, as he took an oath back there in the Genesis, that he put the rainbow in the sky, that we would no more destroy this world by water. or that he would. He also takes his oath and swears by himself that all the seed of Abraham, he'll raise it up, and this world will stand all of its shaking judgments. Now, eternal life is green. Though the vindicated trueness of God's eternal word is blue. Brother Brian actually said blue stands for trueness. All right? So we see that he is, you know, we say about a person, he's true blue. Showing that blue represents trueness, and what is more true than God's word? Did not you say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Then we have indigo, which is a very deep blue, which represents royalty, and finally a violet or purple, which represents priesthood and intercession for our confession. Now, to save time, and I've got this study. If you wish to know more about these colors of the rainbow, you can go to my series, Who is this Melchizedek? And around 83 into the series, I show these colors of the rainbow and what they mean, and then go on to the stones of the breastplate of Aaron and show what they mean, and then go into the breastplate actually of Satan, of Lucifer, and show that he had actually nine of the same breastplate stones that Aaron had, but he was missing three. And the three he was missing was the third row, and all three of them in the third row, and there was the amethyst, which is purple, and it stood for the greater. In other words, stood for the simulation of revelation. Satan doesn't have it. Didn't have revelation. And then there was the bloodstone, which is the agate, and that's the bloodstone that stands for the blood. He doesn't have the blood either. And the third one was a jade saint, which was actually made to, make seals in the old days, to make seals. So he doesn't have seals, he doesn't have the blood, he doesn't have revelation. That was missing from his breastplate, and yet he was a high priest. All right. Now in Exodus 13, 21-22, we read, and the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud, notice, to lead them along the way. And by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Here we see that the cloud of God, the cloud of God said here, is to be a theophanic cloud. It has a purpose, and that is to lead them and guide them in the way. From Exodus 14, verse 19-24, and listen, those people that are disputing the cloud, say, Brother Brown lied about the cloud, they are rejecting the leadership of God in this hour. All right? Now, Exodus 14, 19-24, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the ones came not near the other one all the night. Now, it's the same cloud, which is a cloud by day, was the same pillar of fire by night. The same one that was in the cloud is the same one in the pillar of fire. He isn't the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire is only, he's actually clothed in light. And actually, the word Shekinah, it simply means it's a light to show us where God is at. All right? It means Shekinah presence. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but he gave light by night for us to see, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back to a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a well unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now notice the cloud was troubling to the Egyptians. It's troubling to a lot of people who left the message. But it meant deliverance to the children of God. But notice how when the angel of God moved the cloud, the people moved with it. The cloud then was a manifested presence of the invisible one. Remember, he said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light. Not if you walk in the light. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, and you have fellowship one with another. So you've got to be walking when he walks. When he keeps walking, and if you stop, you're transgressing is what you're doing. And we can go into 2 John verse 8 and show you right there. That is why we see in chapter 16 that the glory of God is associated with the cloud of glory. Exodus 16 verse 10 And it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, you see, here again we see the glory of God in the cloud and his voice altogether. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, and the Lord spake. The Lord spake. Where? The glory. The presence, the cloud, the glory, the speaking. All right? Exodus 9:16, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Here again we see the cloud associated with the word of God coming forth, that great trumpet blast. Exodus 24:15-25:1. And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud. Notice Moses was taken up into the cloud, right? Didn't Jesus take Matthew, Mark, and John up into the cloud? And get him into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Moses came down with the word, with the law, the Ten Commandments, right? Came down from where? From the cloud. Didn't Brother Branham tell us on December 30th of 1962 that the vision showed him going up into the cloud? That's what he said. Again, we see the glory of God speaking forth from out of the cloud. And notice, Moses went into that cloud to talk with God. And in the vision, Brother Branham was also caught up into the cloud of angels in the shape of a pyramid. Because before he was caught up into the cloud, in the vision, because of the great blast, he thought he was going to die. But then he couldn't figure out that Joseph wasn't dead. And Joseph was with him in that vision. He said, who's the young boy? He's with me in the vision. But he didn't die. He said, so I must not have either. And he said, but then when I got into the cloud, he said, then it was revealed to me. I must go back and open the seals. Okay? Now, it's interesting that the cloud of angels came in the shape of a pyramid because the Hebrew word, letter B, which stands for bar as in sun, has a pictogram, which is a pyramid, and the pyramid stands for tent or house. He says that the house will you build, what house will you build me? And he's speaking of his son Jesus, the tent of God's dwelling place. So when the cloud came down in 63, it came like a pyramid, or a tent of his presence. And in that tent, a brother saw not only faces, but people, thousands of them. And Brother Branham said, what are we here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, is that cloud what Paul saw in the heavens? Is that where the dimension is, where the believers are waiting? I don't know, but if we are just that close to being caught up together in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. In other words, was that your theophany coming down? Because it's going to come and it's going to join with you to bring this into a glorified body. Again, we see in Exodus 34:5, and a type of the Lord descending with a shout, as we read, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, Moses, there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Then we have the same thing happen in this hour. The Lord descends with a shout, and a prophetic voice proclaims the name of the Lord. In other words, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things. So here we see the cloud associated with the revelation of the name, or the name of God. I tell you, this is just so rich. From Exodus chapter 40, we read, verse 36 to 38, and when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day and fire by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So here we see the cloud associated with the progressive movement of the called out people. When the cloud moved, they moved with it. All right? Leviticus 16:2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not up at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Again, God in the cloud. Leviticus 16:13. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Here we see the cloud associated with the mercy seat of God. Numbers 9:15-22. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. So God tying together the cloud and the tent of testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, covered it, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tent. In other words, he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. When God moves, we move. When he doesn't move, we just sit still. He said, the bride will have thus saith the Lord, oh, she just keeps still. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched, as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, and the children of Israel kept the charge of God and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining there, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. So when the cloud stayed put, so did the people. They rested. Now, just a few more scriptures here. Numbers 10, verse 11 to 12. And it came to pass at the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Numbers 10:34. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went up out of the camp. So when the cloud moved, also the people moved. Numbers 11:25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto them. Notice again the voice out of the cloud. And took the spirit that was upon them and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Again, the cloud representing the presence of God. Numbers 12:5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. In other words, he's going to stand in my presence, and when he speaks, it's my mouth. It's me moving his mouth. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Here we see that judgment is also associated with the cloud. In other words, we have people who say, well, you know, God bless Brother Brown, he's a great man of God, he's a prophet, but, you know, I got dreams too. I got visions too. I'm sorry, God just said here, I don't care if you got dreams or visions. When Moses speaks, he's speaking mouth to mouth. It's me speaking through it. So here we see the judgment is also associated with the cloud. Your judgment with the cloud. Deuteronomy 4:11. And ye came here and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heavens, with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. Again, we see it as a witness. Deuteronomy 5:22. These words of the Lord spake unto all the assembly in the mount, out of the midst of fire, of the cloud, and of the thickness of darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in two tabernacles of stone, and delivered them unto me again. Again, notice the cloud in judgment, and the voice coming out of the cloud. Alright, just a few more and we'll close. Deuteronomy 1:33. Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tent in the fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. Again, we see the cloud for direction, and the cloud there to show you where to place the tent. Alright, Deuteronomy 31:15. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. Notice here that the Lord appeared in the cloud. I believe when we get to that tent in the resurrection, that cloud is going to be there, because all our theophanies are there, and that's where we get our change. 1 Kings 8:10-11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now notice the cloud filling the house of the Lord is said to be the glory of the Lord. Now remember, in the Greek word glory, for glory is doxa.
And it means the opinions, the values, and the judgments of God. So when he comes to be glorified in his saints, it means in that hour when God's opinions, his values, and his judgments are in us. And Brother Brown said the bride has the word. Here's the secret. She has the word, and she knows what to do with the word. And she'll keep still. She has, thus saith the Lord, she has what the Lord has said thus. Because she couldn't have the values and opinions and judgments without it. But she knows to keep still until he shows her. All right? Now, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand and minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And notice the cloud filling the house of the Lord, said to be the glory of the Lord, which that's his word. When he came down with a shout, look, everything we know came out of that cloud. We got the seven seals, seven church ages, we got it all. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, and it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet, cymbals, and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now the house of God was filled with a cloud when the people were praising him. Now I know this to be true, because Brother Branham said, he said in his own meetings even, he said, you see that milky cloud? He said, that's the glory of the Lord. He said, that's the Holy Spirit. I had the same thing happen when I was just a young minister. At the end of the meeting, I had a 95-year-old woman. She raised her hand. She said, can I say something? I said, yes, ma'am, you may. And she said, I've been a Sunday school teacher for 45 years. And she said, never have I been, has a doctor done for me what's been done for me today. She said, never has a minister done for me what's been done for me today. She said, as you begin to minister to us, she said, a cloud came from behind you and encircled the entire audience. And then a 75-year-old Lutheran minister, he raised his hand and said, I've seen the same thing. And then the guy who had been wheeling people in and out, he's about 45, he said, I've seen the same thing. Three witnesses. You see, that's the glory of the Lord. That's the presence of God. And Brother Brown said, that's the presence of God when you see that milky cloud go out like that. It's a cloud, the cloud of glory, saying the same thing that he said. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And the word, Brother Brown said, means saying the same thing. Well, confession is actually homologio, homologos, okay? The same word. So if you say the same thing about Jesus to man, he will say the same thing about you to his Father. Well, what same thing could you say about him that he's going to say about you? He's my brother. Amen? Remember when he was resurrected, he said, go tell my brothers that I must go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You mean Jesus had a God? Absolutely. The Son of God had a God. The Son of God was not God. He was the Son of God. If you try to make the Son of God God, you've got a Trinity. Now, Nehemiah 9:19. The cloud was, but God indwelt him, and God indwells you. Only he had it by without measure, you got it with measure. Now, otherwise we wouldn't be sons. Now, Nehemiah 9:19. The cloud was God's way of showing his people his ever-abiding presence, to show them light and the way wherein that they should go. Therefore, the picture which we so covet should be a sign of his promise to us. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. Psalm 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Psalm 57:10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Psalm 68:34. Abide ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. Does not the scripture tell us that he will come with power and great glory? And are not these attributes of the great God of the great God's presence both associated with the cloud? Now, Psalm 78:14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Psalm 104:3. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Psalm 105:39. He spreads a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light by the night. Psalm 108:4. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy word, reaches unto the clouds. Proverbs 16:15. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud
of the latter rain. Here we see the favor, which is the grace of God, is associated with the cloud of the latter rain. And Ecclesiastes, and remember, the latter rain is the harvest rain. We're in harvest time. Ecclesiastes 11:3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. God therefore must have this cloud full of the latter rain, and its purpose is to empty himself upon the earth. Isaiah 45:5, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and a shining of flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now remember, last week we went through and showed you how that crown of glory, Paul says, you know, that everybody that loves his appearing shall receive the crown of glory. And we show that crown is actually God's defense. And we become his crown. It's a different Hebrew word altogether. And we become his crown. In other words, we attract attention to the head. You see all those people that the brother saw that were in the head. Notice, we were in his mind before the world was framed. Hallelujah. It all just ties together. Isaiah 19:1. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst thereof. Notice the Lord again, and his presence is associated with the cloud. It was even called his chariot in scriptures. Now, earlier we read a cloud. Okay, now why would God's cloud be with us even in the millennium and into the New Jerusalem? Because in Genesis, he said it would be for an everlasting sign. Now, it is an everlasting sign that it must last forever. All right, Jeremiah 4:13, behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as whirlwind, his horses as swifter than eagles. Ezekiel 1:28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Ezekiel 10:34, now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. All right. Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, which means white hair, and they brought him near before me. Joel 2:1-2, blow the trumpet in Zion. And Brother Brown said, every time it refers to Zion, it speaks of the bride. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds. Now, what have we learned from this lesson? But that this picture of God coming down in a cloud of glory is an everlasting sign of God's covenant with his people. In Jeremiah 31:33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with thee. After these days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inner parts and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And in closing, we read from Ezekiel 37:26-27. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So what is the tabernacle of God? It is the place of his dwelling. It's his presence. Psalm 27:5, Brother Branham used for his text for the rapture, where he said, in that day, he said, he'll hide me in the secret of his presence. And we see that also in Psalm 31:20. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we've covered just an awful lot of scripture tonight. But we did have one thought in mind, Father, and that's the voice of your cloud. And we know the cloud descended with a shout. You were in that cloud, and you descended with a shout. And we see when that cloud came down, the seals broke, and all these other things took place. And yet we find it to know that we were in him before the foundations of the world, and we're identified in him. And he is the head of the body. We are baptized by one Spirit, your Spirit, Father, into one body. And Jesus Christ, your Son, is the head of that body. And we've seen the whole thing, Father. We saw the cloud that came down was a genuine, everlasting presence and everlasting covenant. So be with us tonight, Father, and help us, Lord, to recognize that our redemption does draw nigh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, that's quite a bit. I enjoyed that myself. I got very excited in the study. And close to the resurrection, I believe.